Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. I am a PGY1 transitional year resident that's ultimately going to radiology. And this is episode 97 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. I've gotten a lot of requests recently, especially from people taking like step two and step three, about making a podcast that relates to like the most important like prognostic factors for disease, or like the most important complications of certain diseases, or like the most important like predictors of like survival in certain diseases. And just going off of like people that I've tutored, because as you guys know, I do a crap ton of tutoring. There are just certain like key high yield like prognostic, or let's call them like most important things that are implicated in certain diseases that are very high yield for you to know on NBME exams. So I will try to highlight them as we go along in this podcast. So just think of this podcast as the most important podcast, but I will talk about like prognostic factors and all that stuff. And I think that should really help with preparing you for these exams. I would really say that this podcast should be super helpful to people taking step 2 CK, step 3, the internal medicine in training exam, and also the medicine boards. And again, some prognostic factors or most important things I may mention here may not necessarily be like the super most important in the real world, but I would posit that they are the probably the most important things that you need to know for NBME exams, okay? Because again, the NBME obviously does not test every single detail in the world. Okay, so I'll try to make this as short and sweet as possible, right? So first question is, what's the most important prognostic factor in a patient that is diagnosed with a retinal detachment? What's the most important prognostic factor? The most important prognostic factor is actually the time to surgical intervention. So how long does it take for you to basically get in with the ophthalmologist to get surgery? Now, what is the most important prognostic factor in a patient that has breast cancer, has a diagnosis of breast cancer? It's actually the involvement of axillary lymph nodes, right? So like the presence of axillary lymphadenopathy. In fact, if you want to be a little more specific, it's like the number of involved axillary lymph nodes that determines prognosis in breast cancer. But if you don't see that as an answer choice, the second most important prognostic factor in breast cancer is actually the size of the tumor. Okay, very high yield to know that for tests. Now, what is the most important predictor of survival in patients that have aortic coarctation? What is the most important predictor of survival? It's actually the age at when you basically repair the defect. Not the age of diagnosis, the age of repair. Okay, so high yield to keep that in mind for your exam. Now, what is the most important factor that predisposes to the rupture of a triple A? It's actually the diameter of the aneurysm, right? So obviously, the wider the aneurysm is, the more prone the aneurysm is to rupture. So that's a high yield thing again. You want to keep at the back of your mind for NBMEs. Now, what is the most important risk factor for the development of squamous cell carcinoma of the skin? It's actually like cumulative exposure to the sun. Okay. Now, what is the most important prognostic factor in a patient that has a diagnosed melanoma? It's actually the depth of invasion of the lesion, right? So, like sometimes on exams, you may see this referred to as the breast low depth. Okay, now, what is the most important prognostic factor for outcome in a patient that has like acute mesenteric ischemia? This one is kind of like logical. It's actually the presence of bowel infarction, like either detected on imaging or whatever, okay? And what is the most, I guess, this is like a nifty NBME question. What is the most, how do I put this? What is the most important measure in the prevention of hepatocellular carcinoma? So prevention of hepatocellular carcinoma. It's actually the presence of Hep B vaccination, right? Hep B vaccination is the most important preventive strategy in preventing the development of hepatocellular carcinoma. Okay. Now, what is the most important risk factor in the development of ovarian cancer? It's actually family history. Okay. And what is the most important prognostic factor in cervical cancer? It's actually the stage at which you diagnose the cancer. Okay. So it's the stage that you make the diagnosis. if you're asking, if you're looking for like the second most important prognostic factor there, it's actually like the like involvement of like, I guess, like the pelvic lymph nodes or like the periaortic nodes. Those are common nodes that cervical cancer loves to spread to. Now, what is the most important risk factor for the development of prostate cancer? This one shows up all the time on exams. That's age, right? And I guess if, since we're talking about the prostate, what is the most important risk factor for the development of bladder cancer? That's actually smoking, right? And then for a patient, I guess, that has been diagnosed with a colon cancer, what is the most important prognostic factor in determining outcome of treatment? That's actually the stage at diagnosis, okay? And this is kind of an innocuous question that may show up on an exam, but what is the most important test that is needed in the diagnosis of like infectious endocarditis? It's actually a blood culture, okay? And what is the, what is the most, what is the most important complication of peritoneal dialysis, especially on MBMEs? It's actually the development of a peritonitis. Okay. Now, what's the most important goal in the management of COPD? Smoking cessation. Very good. Okay. Now, what is the most important risk factor for the development of obstructive sleep apnea? That is actually obesity. Okay. Now, what is the most important disease associated with central sleep apnea? That is actually heart failure. That's a classic USMLE Step 3 exam question. Now, what is the most important, I guess, let me call it, non-pharmacologic intervention in the management of osteoarthritis? That's actually exercise. Okay, let's see. What is the most, I guess, important modifiable risk factor in the development of osteoarthritis? That's actually obesity, okay? What are the two most important risk factors? Two most important risk factors for the development of like C. diff colitis. That's actually the use of antibiotics. And then another high yield one that shows up on tests is hospitalization. Now, what is the most important, I guess, opportunistic pathogen that causes infection after obtaining a transplant? That's actually CMV, especially like after the first month of the transplant. That's CMV, cytomegalovirus, right? That's why many transplant patients get like prophylactic ganciclovir, like valganciclovir. Okay, now, what is the most important risk factor for the development of a cholangiocarcinoma? That's actually the presence of a primary sclerosing cholangitis, believe it or not. Okay. Now, what are the two most important risk factors in the development of hepatocellular carcinoma? One will be cirrhosis. Another one is also the presence of like Hep B infection. Okay. Now, what is the most important risk factor for the development of, I guess, like lung disease related to asbestos? Or asbestos, where I'm Nigerian, I can pronounce things however I want. Doesn't matter. That's actually like the cumulative exposure to asbestos fibers. Okay. Now, what is the most important, what is the most important, I guess, therapeutic step in the management of acute pancreatitis? It's actually fluid resuscitation. So basically like hydrating the patient adequately. Okay. Now, what is the most important physical exam finding in the diagnosis of aortic stenosis? It's actually the presence of like the pulsus parvocetardus, right? So basically it's like the delayed upstroke in the carotid pulse, okay? Now, what is the most important prognostic predictor in patients with coronary artery disease? It's actually like left ventricular function, okay? That's a very classic USMLE and medicine boards question. Okay. Now, what is the most important factor, I guess, in preventing like lung injury from the use of ventilators? And I guess you can also say like, improving survival in patients with ARDS. It's actually like mechanical ventilation with like a lung protective strategy. So basically like mechanical ventilation with like low tidal volumes. Now, what is the most important oncologic association in patients with like long-term celiac disease? It's actually the development of like a small bowel lymphoma, okay? Small bowel lymphoma, I believe that's called like enteric associated like T-cell lymphoma or EATL. Now, what is the most important disease of the retina in an old person, right? So in the elderly, it's actually macular degeneration, okay? Now, what is the most important risk factor for the development of pressure ulcers? That's immobility, okay? Now, what is the most important physical exam finding in the diagnosis of renal artery stenosis? It's actually the presence of an abdominal bruit. Although, remember, right, you only find this in like 50% of people. Okay, now, what is the most important prognostic factor that sort of like, I guess, if you are considering the preservation of neurologic function in patients that have like spinal cord compression? It's actually like early diagnosis. Making the diagnosis early is actually very important in determining like the patient's prognosis with regards to like preserving a neurologic function. Now, what is the most important factor affecting like TB treatment, like the success of TB treatment worldwide? It's actually like adhering to your treatment regimen, right? It's a very like daunting regimen, so many people do not adhere to it. And then I guess kind of to wrap up today, this is just one topic that shows up quite commonly on the USMLE, so I'll go ahead and talk about it, right? But basically, it's like knowing like certain cancers that are associated with like infectious agents, right? So this shouldn't take too long, right? So like cervical cancer or like anal cancers, right? You want to think about like HPV, right? So like the human papillomavirus. Remember that actually having HIV, this is something that shows up on OB-GYN shelves a lot. Having HIV actually increases your risk of cervical cancer, okay? And basically, the more sexual partners you have, the higher your risk of a cervical cancer. And then don't forget like Kaposi's sarcoma, right? Remember HHV-8, right? So like KSHV, the Kaposi's sarcoma herpes virus is associated with the development of Kaposi's sarcoma. I remember basically, right, classically on MBMEs, you'll show up in like a young guy that has sex with other men. Okay. And remember, right, Bartonella henslii can cause a disease that's slightly similar to a Kaposi's sarcoma, right? Bacillary angiomatosis. The presentation is very similar, right? And it's also classically found in HIV patients. But it will usually give you like high yield things that can help you differentiate between both. Now, Hodgkin's lymphoma, right? Don't forget your EBV. Remember Hodgkin's lymphoma, your Reed Sternberg cells. And then how about Burkitt's lymphoma? Also EBV, right? Remember your 814 translocation for Burkitt's lymphoma and the starry sky pattern on histology. And remember, I mean, EBV can cause many other things, right? It can cause like many cancers of like the oropharynx. It can cause like nasopharyngeal carcinoma. And in fact, in people that have like lymphomas after transplant, EBV is actually implicated in as like a potential like causative agent in many of those things. Now, how about a malt lymphoma, right? So like a mucosal associated lymphoid tissue lymphoma, right? Think about H. pylori, right? This is why H. pylori, you give antibiotics, you give the PPIs to sort of like reduce the risk of developing a malt lymphoma. How about HCC, right? So like hepatocellular carcinoma. Don't forget your hep B, don't forget your hep C, okay? Very high yield to know those for tests. And also don't forget, right? So I talked about cervical cancer and HPV. HPV also causes a lot of like head and neck cancers, especially if you're the kind of person that gives like oral sex, okay? So just one of those high yield things you want to keep in mind for exams. Okay, so I think I'm going to go ahead and stop here. This is probably one of my shortest podcasts, but this is probably one of my more high-yield podcasts as well. And as I round up, remember, I do offer one-on-one tutoring if you're ever interested for the USMLE Step 1, 2CK, 2CS, and Step 3. Preclinical exams, third-year shelf exams, the internal medicine in-training exam, internal medicine board exams. And then if you're a med student applying for residency, so like ERAS applications, or a college student applying for med school, like AMCAS applications, I do offer like consulting for those, like application prep, like interview prep, personal statement help, and just basically putting together like an outstanding application. Pretty much all the people I worked with this past cycle matched into like their top 3-4 choices. Most of them matched at their first choices. And then if you weirdly have an acquaintance that's needs tutoring for like organic chemistry or physics or general chemistry or biochem or physiology or histology even, I do offer a tutoring for those. So I'll see you in the next podcast. Have a wonderful rest of your night and God bless. I'll see you next time.